This episode of Car Talk is supported by AT&T. With AT&T, the network is on demand, the office is mobile, and the cloud is designed for high security. Learn more at att.com/focus. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Geo-Culinary Studies here at Car Talk Plaza.
Geo-Culinary Studies. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Enlighten me, man. Come on.
This is one of the best scientific studies that you'll ever read.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It's from the Annals of Improbable Research. You probably heard someone say at one time or another, something as flat as a pancake.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's an article here written by a team of geographers, real scientists. Their names, Mark Fonstad and William Pugach.
Okay.
From Texas State University in San Marcos. And Brandon Vogt from Arizona State University. They decided to use topographic analysis to compare, are you ready for this? The state of Kansas to a pancake to see which one is flatter. I mean, you've heard people say Kansas is as flat as a pancake.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, I think these guys just wanted to write off a trip to IHOP.
Funny you should mention that, because the first thing they did was they went to IHOP. They went to the International House of Pancakes to buy the pancake.
One pancake?
That's what they told us.
With syrup or without? Because it would change the results, wouldn't it, if it had syrup on it?
It's without syrup.
Okay.
And they measured the pancake with their equipment, and it had what's called a flattening ratio of 0.957. 1.0 means it's perfectly flat.
Or flat as a pancake.
Flat as a pancake is 0.957.
Evidently.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. So go ahead.
So then they took an east-west profile of Kansas, and Kansas has a flattening ratio. Are you ready?
Do we need a drum roll or something? Go ahead. Don't give me a suspense, man. I can't take it.
Get this. The flatness of Kansas came out to be 0.9997.
Get out.
Flatter than a pancake.
Wow. So now we know that Kansas is not as flat as a pancake. It's flatter.
See?
Than this a pancake.
This is the kind of research that makes this country great. And if anyone wants to read the study and see all the formulas that they used, we're going to have a link to it from our website, cartalk.com.
Well, these guys, I'm sure they do other kinds of comparisons, like hardness tests, for
they
example.
They probably do. What do you want?
I want to compare your head to a rock.
We can do that. I'll get right on that.
Well, look, if you have any geo-culinary questions or just questions about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paul from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hey, is Maryland flatter than a pancake?
No.
Hardly.
No. No way. Listen, I've got a 95 Toyota Camry with one of those extending, retracting power antennas,
uh-huh.
And it got bent. And now, whenever it goes up, it makes this sound, and that can't be good. And
it's not.
So I'm wondering if there's some way, like, I can go in there and snip a wire and diffuse it like a bomb and just leave it in its upright extended position.
Oh, why don't you just put it up? Does it go down automatically?
Oh, no, it goes down when you turn the radio off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a silly thing. Why don't you just disconnect that?
I like listening to my radio.
No. You can disconnect that piece of it.
Yeah.
In other words, there are two connections to this antenna. One is the coaxial cable that goes to the radio.
Gotcha.
From the antenna, and that feeds the signal to the radio.
Okay.
The other wire controls the electric motor.
Okay.
Which gets energized every time you turn the radio on and off.
Right.
And you can disconnect that in the up position, and it'll stop making the noise.
All you need to do is find the motor.
And the motor's in the trunk.
Okay.
And it's very easy to find on that car. I'm going to give you a big hint. It's on the same side as the antenna.
I think I can find that.
I think you can find it, and everything is right there. Now, you can try something else if you're daring.
Yeah?
You can try replacing the mast.
With a wire hanger?
No. No.
No, yeah, no. This is one of those places where the coat hanger business doesn't work because it really has to be pretty damn straight.
Yeah. No, you can go to Toyota and you can buy a replacement antenna mast which has on it what's called the tape.
Ooh.
And the tape is this plastic gear, basically, mm-hmm. that is a strip.
Okay.
And what you're going to do is you're going to remove what's called the bezel from the antenna. If you look at your antenna, I don't want you to get nervous, Paul. I can tell you're starting to hyperventilate.
See, this is not really rocket science.
You may think so.
And I think it is.
No. Let's just stay calm now. Take a couple of deep breaths.
All right.
Okay, say om. Okay.
There you go.
You feeling better now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you look at the antenna from the outside of the car,
right.
You will see the antenna, and there is a nut.
Okay.
Right at the very bottom.
At the very bottom that holds, keeps the antenna from flying out when it gets pushed up by the electric motor.
Okay.
What you're going to do is remove that nut,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to turn the radio on. When you do that, the antenna is going to come flying up. and with
it... And I don't want to put an eye out.
And no, you're not going to put an eye out, but just in case, have your wife help you. And when the antenna comes out, so too will the attached tape.
Mm-hmm.
You are then going to... You're going to have an assistant turn the radio off.
Okay.
And while that radio is getting turned off, you're going to feed the tape in, and the gear inside the thing is going to grab it and wind it back in.
And it's going to suck that mast right down inside the fender.
And when it does, you're going to put the nut back on, and you're done.
All right.
And you'll be a genius. I'm telling you, you'll be the local genius. They may even have a parade for you. But if you don't want to do that, unplug the thing, and you will have the antenna up all the time.
I think I can do that.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're going to do that. But
yeah,
someday...
I mean, that's one of those technologies that we hardly needed. I mean, we could certainly have lived without the power antenna.
No, we could.
I mean, what has the power antenna really ever done for mankind?
Well, I'll tell you one thing it has done. It has allowed me to make 3 boat payments.
Replacing them.
Yeah. Good luck, Paul. Someday when you feel courageous,
all right,
give it a shot.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, I'm Rachel. I'm phoning you from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Rachel.
Austin.
Yes.
How are you, Rachel?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Fine, but you're not a Texan.
No, I'm not. I'm from England.
And how did you wind up in Austin, Texas?
My husband worked in Montreal and then got transferred down here to Texas.
Wait a minute. There's no oil in Montreal.
No, you're right.
He's in the computer industry.
No, he made die castings.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you mean like for Franklin Mint?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah.
They're like parts for car radios and cell phones.
Sure, the knobs. That's the job I wanted. I wish I invented the knob. Don't you wish you would have invented the knob?
The knob was good.
The knob was a big deal.
It was a biggie.
It was a biggie. It was one of the biggies. And if you had invented the knob, you'd be on Easy Street now.
Everyone's using the knob.
Oh, yeah. Indeed. So anyway, Rachel.
How about the push button? That might be even better. What's up, Rachel?
Well, I have a 95 Cavalier, and it's done 120,000 kilometers.
Kilometers?
Yep. And when I'm driving home from work, I have to go down a hill, turn a corner to the right. And occasionally, as I'm shifting down gear and turning to the right, the steering will totally seize. And me and the friend April that I carpool with, we're kind of coasting towards the hedge, thinking, we're not turning. And it's a bit of a concern, really.
Sure it is.
What year Cavalier is this again?
It's a 95.
Really?
Really?
Yes. It's a manual car, so I just slam on the brakes, push in the clutch, take a deep breath.
Right, back up away from the hedges and...
Yeah.
So this has happened...
And then just move on. Nothing stalls or anything.
Is it accompanied by any noises?
No noises.
Other than the screams of your passengers.
Screams, yes.
Just screams of passengers.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, what comes to mind is a problem that has plagued many GM cars since the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
Can't be true.
And that is a faulty rack and pinion.
Is there any chance, Rachel,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have any power steering fluid?
I have checked the power steering fluid.
God
there
love
is
you.
Some there.
Oh, no, I'm sure there is, because otherwise you'd hear awful noises.
Mm-hmm.
The steering would be difficult all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically said to us that aside from this peculiarity, that it behaves perfectly well.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine.
Well, I suspect the rack is no good. And I suspect that it's a combination of the load imposed on the rack by the turn, by the hill, and all the other factors of binding up the rack so that the rack is actually binding on the bushings.
Oh, dear. Is that serious?
It's potentially serious, because obviously you can crash the car.
Yeah, that would be serious.
Well, it's serious from a safety standpoint, and it's serious from a money standpoint.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be several hundred dollars.
Uh-oh.
So save up.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck, Rachel, and happy welcome to America.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, guys. This is Lee calling from Waterville, Maine.
Hey, Lee.
You know, I spent a wonderful weekend day.
No, that was Waterville Valley.
Isn't that the same thing?
No,
different state.
That's in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Is it cold there?
No, beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful.
Well, not cold yet.
Not yet.
Waterville. All right, where's Waterville, Maine, then?
Sort of in the middle part of the state.
Now, how come you don't have the Maine accent? I mean...
Well, I've been away from home for about 20 years and just moved back 3 months ago.
Take more than that. Repeat after me. We're going over to Bangor to get some lobsters.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind, Lee?
A retired mechanic in Pennsylvania told me that when I change the oil in my car, in order to make sure the engine's clean, first I should drain the oil, put the drain plug back in, add a pint of kerosene to the engine,
start it up with the pint of kerosene in it, right?
Yeah, start it up and let it run for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Then turn it off and take the drain plug off, and the kerosene is sort of sloshing around in there, and it's cleaning the engine.
Just like the hungry water theory.
Well, you know,
doesn't that sound good? I mean, just the thought. You can imagine it. There's got to be imagery involved, you know? When there's imagery, you can see the kerosene splashing around, washing everything off, and taking all that other junk down to the
water. First of all, that is the essence of marketing. If something doesn't sound good, why did I buy my Sobakawa pillow? Because I watched that 3-hour infomercial, and it sounded
great. What about the George Foreman grill?
That sounded great, too. I bought
that,
too.
What about the vacuum thing?
I got that. That's the
What about the Juice Tiger?
I got that, too. Because they all sound good.
They sound good.
Just like this does.
Just like this
It's important, however, that if you ever do anything like this, that never mind.
Am I going to be hurting the engine?
Yeah.
Oh, are you ever? Well, see, what you don't realize, I mean, what the imagery doesn't tell you about is the fact that you're running the engine now, granted it's only for 15 seconds, without any oil in it.
Right.
Why would you want to do that?
Kerosene is a lousy lubricant. It does have some lubricating properties.
Did you ever try it, Lee?
No. I've asked people, mechanics, engineers, and they've all scratched their heads and said either don't do it or it sounds like it might work, but I don't know.
Well, I have to say that I fell prey to this very scheme almost once because I had a GMC Suburban, which started burning oil, and I had a choice of rebuilding the engine or trying every harebrained scheme that anybody mentioned to me. One theory, of course, was drain out half the oil.
Uh-huh.
Replace it with 2.5 quarts of kerosene.
Ah.
And run the engine for an hour.
And bake in a medium oven.
350 oven. So I say, I'm going to give it a try, Frank. And he says, go for it. So I park the thing outside, and I drain out 2 quarts of oil, and I replace it with kerosene. I start the baby up, and it comes up to temperature, and the entire West Cambridge area was enveloped in a cloud of white smoke. I mean, this thing started blowing smoke. I mean, you couldn't believe the amount of smoke. We were out of business for 3 days. No one could find us. But all the time that the smoke is pouring out, What am I thinking?
It's cleaning out the dirt.
You know
dirt.
What that smoke is?
It's freeing up the rings.
Freeing up the rings.
It's providing lifeblood to the engine.
And it may look bad now.
It's renewing, rejuvenating.
Exactly. So after an hour, I drained out the oil and kerosene mixture, and I replaced it with 5 quarts of beautiful new fresh oil.
Mm.
It continued to blow smoke for the next 4 years.
Because
I completely wrecked it.
It's all right to use as a last-ditch effort. It may free a stuck set of rings, and if it doesn't, you've lost nothing except a couple of quarts of kerosene.
Exactly, because you're going to have to rebuild the engine anyway.
So we ended off taking his engine out and rebuilding the whole thing. Yeah. On the other hand, if you have an engine that's running okay...
And it is.
Don't do it!
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Was this guy retired or defrocked?
Maybe both.
Well, thanks for asking, Lee, and welcome back to Maine, and thanks for calling.
Okay, guys, thanks.
See
bye-bye.
You later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, wacko theories are hard to kill.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, I don't want to, I don't mean this in a bad way, but Pons and Fleischmann are still getting lots and lots
yes.
of funding.
Because you know why? There's some little grain
of what you want to believe.
Not even what you want to believe. There's some little grain of validity
yeah.
in what they've done.
Of course.
We don't know exactly what it is, but those research dollars are pouring in as we speak.
And I want, what I want to know is, why can't we be part of that?
We're not that smart. Okay, wow. It's time to take a short break.
This is where we allow our stations to identify themselves.
No, this is where we allow our stations to check the programming menu again and see if there's anything better they can put on in this slot. We'll be back in a minute, we hope.
He drives his SUV as if he's got the right to run over anything that might get in his way. I'd like to ride along, stick him in the slot.
And even though the Brothers Grimm say, isn't that scaring little children whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This episode of Car Talk and the following message come from Simply Safe Home Security, the smart way to protect your home and family. Simply Safe is award-winning home security that provides around-the-clock protection and is built by top engineers in the country. You can rest easy knowing your Sleepy LaBeef collection and Ginsu knife set are safe. There are no long-term contracts, so you're never locked in. Try it out. Enjoy a 10% discount and show support for Car Talk by visiting simplysafe.com/cartalk. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Hey, can you turn on the light? We're trying this new lighting here.
You want more
this
light?
Mood
yeah,
lighting.
Sure. Hold
but
on.
I found myself nodding off. Ah! That's good. No, that's good. That's good. A little bit dimmer. Yeah, that's too bright. Yeah, that's perfect.
That's great.
It's just where it was before. Anyway, we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the super Magliozzi brothers.
Well, we got this Ellen Rice and her two kids, Forrest, age 8, and Paxton, age 5, said, we're sitting on top of a gold mine here because we've been forgetting. And they did it for us. They developed the Car Talk video game. And we have here the complete description of the game, which I'll just give you the highlights of. Okay?
Right. Give us the, like the salient points.
Okay, the screen comes up. The Super Magliozzi brothers are there. You have to choose a tool, and you got a whole bunch of tools, and then you go to level one. Level one, there are cars to be fixed. You can choose easy, medium, or hard. You choose a car. You give the answer. You give the right answers, but then you go on to level two. Level two. The mechanic now must run to maze through a maze of a mob of angry customers. To get out of the dead end, you have to throw money. Da, 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 da. Level 3. Level 3 is a long dark tunnel to the lawyer's office. The mechanic must have $2,000 to exit the lawyer's office. Level 4. The mechanic has a time limit of 2 minutes, and he has to fix a motorcycle engine for a biker gangster. Failure to pay, $10,000 hospital bill. I mean, you can see the... I see the possibilities here.
I can see it now.
I can see it now, too.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
And one of the is one of the tools a wallet, so you can buy your way out of these problems?
How did you know that? One of the tools is a wallet with $1,000 in it.
Well, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bob from Maryland.
Bob from Maryland.
What's going on, Bob?
Hey, I've got a wonderful 95 Windstar, and we were heading up from Mount Rainier, Maryland, up to Allentown, Pennsylvania for the family reunion, and the speedometer, all of a sudden, the needle on the dial starts shooting back and forth. And I'm going about 60, and it's showing 80 and then 100 and so on. So I pull over for a second, and I'm checking the fluids, and, you know, nothing's wrong. So I head up back down the road, and I can hear a little whirring sound. So I say, okay, speedometer cable's probably broken, and I ignore it. And after a while, and we've been going for about 2 hours here, then the engine starts to stumble and kind of hesitate. Maybe I'm going 65, and I try to go faster, and it starts to stumble.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So when we get back from the weekend.
And what was your answer? When you said, what's going on here?
No. Maybe I need higher octane. I don't know.
And during this misbehavior, the check engine light didn't come on?
It did come on.
Of course it did. And you were going to leave that out of your little story now, weren't you?
Yeah, to see if we were on our toes.
You're right. The light came on and pretty much stayed on.
Yeah.
Okay. Took it to my mechanic when he got back, and he was pretty much stumped. He gave it a major tune-up.
Oh.
He's stumped. He said, well, I can't put a mechanic in your car for 4 hours to drive around and see what it is.
Oh, he doesn't have to.
Why? I mean, doesn't it still do it?
It only does it at high speeds after, like, a couple hours.
Well, I suspect what's happening is that you have a faulty VSS, which is a vehicle speed sensor. Which is the thing that tells you don't have a speedometer cable, by the way. Don't ask him to replace that because he won't find one.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know why it was making the noise, but I know why the thing was misbehaving, because your VSS was going out of range and sending wacko signals to the speedo and to the computer. And that's why the engine started to misbehave, because it was the engine was traveling at a speed, you know what, like for 55 miles per hour, but it was being told that you were doing 90. So it was changing the fuel injection, it was changing the timing, and it was making the engine run peculiarly for that reason, and it set the light. When the thing cooled off, it returned to normal operation, and that's why the light doesn't come on unless you drive it on the highway. So he needs to, I would say, just throw a vehicle speed sensor in it. That's going to fix it.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing might be working at low speeds.
It is working at low speed, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, when's the next family reunion? I mean, you might be all right for a year or so.
Yeah, I am, and my mother-in-law will be happy as can be.
Yeah.
There you go, he won't be coming to visit. Good luck, Bob, but have him, if he can't figure out anything, have him replace that.
Remember
vehicle
those
speed
words,
sensor.
Vehicle speed sensor.
Okay, vehicle speed sensor. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Holly.
Hi, Holly.
And
Holly go lightly.
Well, that's how I got my name.
Really?
Yes.
Your parents saw the movie?
No.
And they
No. My husband met me when I was taking the bar review course in the 60s, and in the 60s there were almost no women at the bar review course, so if you were even reasonably attractive, you were followed around. So he asked me if I was running for office, because he said he'd be happy to vote for me, and he said it reminded him of Holly Golightly.
What a line.
Yeah, pretty good.
It worked, huh?
I'm still in office.
Not bad.
That's
now,
good.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Chicago.
And we have a 1987 Dodge Colt.
Whoa!
We love it. And when we take it in to be get gas or to get oil, we take it to one of these like Jiffy Lube type places.
Sure.
And they always push you to have these flushes done, like radiator flush and transmission flush. And I never know if that's a legitimate thing or that they're just pushing it to make extra money.
It's a fad. You know, when we were kids, our mothers gave us enemas all the time. I mean, I guess the,
what flush did they call that? The royal flush.
You know, the philosophy being that can't hurt them, right? So I think it is just a fad. And I think, well, needless to say, these places that do these oil changes are trying to drum up extra money.
Oh, come on. Oh, the owner's manual says you're supposed to flush things at certain times. And if that's the time, then you should do it. Like the owner, most owners' manuals suggest that every 2 or 3 years you flush the cooling system.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
And
but I'd be willing to bet that if you went to this place regularly,
yeah,
and better still, see, because now that it's the computer age, they have everything on file.
Yeah.
At a moment's notice.
Yeah.
So they can tell if they already sold you a cooling system flush.
Right.
But I bet you if you went to Quickie Lube place number one, and then 6 months from now went to Quickie Lube place number two, they would tell you to do exactly the same things that the first guys had already just done.
Oh, and that's why Hawley is correct in questioning. I believe you're correct to question because these guys are motivated by greed only.
So what I should do is go to the owner's manual, you say?
You should go to the owner's manual, and you should pretty much follow what the owner's manual says.
Okay.
If things haven't been done, you can certainly research your own records. And if things haven't been done, then you might believe them.
Okay.
But be careful, because my experience has been, and in my opinion, places like this try to sell you things that you don't need.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
But, okay. I mean, I suppose that their rationale is, hey, well, look, we're just reminding people that these things have to get done, and if we're not forcing them to do
They're using the enema rationale.
Exactly.
It can't hurt.
So if you change the oil an extra time or you change the transmission fluid an extra time, it can't hurt. And it's true. It will only hurt your pocketbook.
And it can only help them.
Okay.
See you, Holly.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Carl from Santa Monica. Glad to be on your show.
Is this Carl with a K or Carl with a C?
Well, strange you would ask. It's Carl with a K. Thank you very much.
Isn't that interesting? Aren't you? Isn't it good that I asked?
It was nice.
So what kind of BMW do you own, Carl?
Well, strangely enough, I own a Japanese car.
Oh.
And like it very much. It's a Honda Civic. And my story, my problem, begins on a very quiet Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, we heard this kind of, I thought it was a siren, a smoke alarm. I don't know what it was, emanating from someplace I didn't know. And
you were driving along it?
No, I was. We were still in bed, if you can believe this. It was a wonderful, as I said, it was a wonderful morning.
And you were hearing sirens. That's good.
Wow.
Right. And so I
did you see like fireworks too?
What's that?
Did you see fireworks?
No. Well, as you'll see, it turned out that the doorbell rang, and I came to answer it in my pajamas. And it's one of our new neighbors that we just moved into this neighborhood, and she said, "Your horn is running. Is blaring?
Blaring. Yeah.
Out of the blue, it just started for no reason at all." And so I look across the street, and, of course, there's my lovely little car with its horn just going like crazy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
So I immediately panic. It's amazing what that sound does to you.
I run back
to the kitchen, get a screwdriver, run out to the street, pop the, I did get my keys, open the thing, get the hood open.
And couldn't find the horn.
I've got a screwdriver. It doesn't mean no good whatsoever.
No, that's really the wrong tool for this job.
Right, unless I was going to try and short the thing out or something, I don't know.
Mm.
But anyway, so obviously that's not going to help. I couldn't find the horn well enough, quick enough. I feel like a deer with a spotlight in its eye.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I run back to the house. This is all in my pajamas. And look for
a hammer.
Hammer would have been better than screwdriver.
That is true. No, a pliers. There you go. So
that's good. That's
so
even better.
I disconnected the battery.
Excellent.
Yeah.
By which time, every neighbor in the entire block is looking out the window.
Well, I think it's
commenting
rather,
on your pajamas.
I think it's a rather clever way to introduce yourself to the neighborhood. I mean, everyone knows who you are now, Carl.
Well, yeah, I'm the one that owns the car with the horn.
It's the jerk with the Civic. I think
that's
they refer
right.
to you as. Yeah.
So anyway, I left it, of course, with the battery disconnected until I had to use the car, and then found the horn, disconnected the horn, put the battery cables back on, got in the car, and drove it around. And I am, you know, the horn system is so simple, it really blows my mind
as
to what could make this happen.
It boggles the mind, doesn't it?
It does. I haven't hooked the horn up yet. For fear that it's going to happen in a place that's going to be much worse than, you know, a Sunday morning.
Oh, you didn't even experiment?
I didn't want to hear that horn for another nanosecond. I'm still panicked about the whole idea.
Let me tell you an interesting story which is related to the horn story.
Oh, this is again giving me time to figure out what's going on.
No, I
like this technique.
I know what's wrong with
Drag
the horn.
Drag it out.
I know what's wrong with the horn.
Take your time.
I once lived in a part of our fair city here in Boston, and it was cold.
Can you take your coffee with two sugars?
yeah, go get me one, will you? I have a couple of eggs over light. And it was a cold winter night, and it had been snowing for about an hour. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was fast asleep. And I suddenly
heard... I like the scene. I like the way you
can just see it all, can't you?
I can hear the wind blowing.
The wind... The howling. And all of a sudden, my doorbell rings.
Ding dong.
Ding dong, right? Well, I lived on the third floor at the time, and I said, who could possibly be ringing my doorbell at 2 o'clock in the morning? No. You got it all wrong. So I look out the window, and it's completely quiet. You know how it is in those dark nights? The wind is blowing. Snow is falling down. Right? I walk in my pajamas, just like Carl. I walk down my three flights of steps, and I peer outside to see who could possibly... I wasn't going to buzz
anybody.
There is
nobody there.
Not only is there nobody there...
They stole your car, too!
My horn was blown! Not only is there nobody there, but the snow had covered the front porch, and there were no footprints. You talk about the hair on the back of your head standing up?
Yes.
Wowzy.
Yeah.
And what had happened was exactly what happened to Carl's horn.
Really?
A miniature Barnum and Bailey.
Yeah, short circuit.
Short circus. Isn't that an eerie story? Did that give you enough time? I mean, what the hell do you want from me? I'm working on novelettes now.
Ask him what color it is. Well, one of two things happened, Carl. Either your horn relay got stuck, or the problem is in the steering column.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's pretty, like you say, it's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. It consists of the switch, basically, which is in the steering column, in the steering wheel, and a wire that goes to a relay under the hood, and then another wire from the relay to the horn. And that's it.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. You go and you buy a new horn relay, because that's the simpler thing to do, and it's probably $10, and you have to get it from your Honda dealer.
Oh.
Then you can spend all of next weekend looking for the horn relay.
And you can do this in your pajamas, just so the neighbors they'll associate it with, they'll say, ah, there's good old Carl. He's doing something good for the neighborhood. It's a good thing this didn't happen at 2 o'clock in the morning like my little problem happened.
Right.
Well, it will next time.
Yeah. Find the horn relay, replace it, and then you're going to have to do the test.
I'll tell you right now, if you were to plug the horns back in...
It'll work. I mean, it won't blow.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Until next Sunday morning.
Well, and then I'm always driving with the idea that at any moment the horn could come on itself.
Right, and
yes.
That panic would set in.
Right.
I think you should sell it.
You know what you need? Here's what you need. You need a pair of bolt cutters.
Right in the front seat.
Right in the front seat. So when it happens, you just cut the steering wheel right off.
And if that doesn't fix it, it means it's the relay.
No, this is really simple.
Yeah, but, should be really simple.
It's really not easy.
It's going to cost you $300 to fix it.
It's not easy to figure out whether it's the relay or whether it's the horn button.
But if you're willing to experiment a little bit, put a relay in it. That's cheap, and you won't have to pay $48 an hour to some shop.
Actually,
I can do that myself, huh?
Oh, yeah, simple.
When you buy the relay at the dealership, if they're nice guys, they'll tell you where it's located. I don't off the top of my head know. It's probably under the dash someplace.
Okay.
When you find where the relay is, you just take it out every night.
Or take the battery in the house with you.
Good luck, Carl.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot. Guys.
All right, bye bye.
Bye bye.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Well, although you should be sharpening your number two pencils and dusting off the old pea shooter, you're instead listening to us click and clack, known in detention halls everywhere as Tom and Ray Magliozzi. We'll have more of your calls, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the end of your slide rule may fall off. Anyone use slide rules anymore?
Yeah, they use them to hold the door open.
We'll be back in a minute.
I like how the steering wheel is firm under my hand. I like how the headlights cut across the shadowland. I like how your voice is low and breathless in my ear. I like that it's cold outside, but warm in here. Surrounded by this highway, we're at the speed of light. Baby, let's drive all night.
And even though Goldilocks wonders who's been messing with her radio's presets whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Since you're listening to Car Talk, chances are at some point you'll be thinking about new tires. If you couldn't hear what I just said over the road noise your old tires are making, you might want to think about new tires right now. At TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, will be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, I guess, the new university entrance exam.
Well, it's not
the
actually new.
University entrance exam, not the new university.
Not new university.
The new university entrance
this
exam.
This has probably been in use for many years, just we don't know about it. This is the university entrance exam football player version. And here are some of the questions. You see if you can get these right. What language is spoken in France?
I think I have
you can handle
on
that,
yeah.
Okay. Question two. Write a dissertation on the ancient Babylonian Empire with particular reference to architecture, literature, law, and social conditions, or give the first name of Pierre Trudeau. question 12. I'm skipping around here just to cross you up. Can you explain Einstein's theory of relativity? Yes, no. Advanced math. If you have three apples, how many apples do you have? And my favorite, six kings of England have been called George, the last being George the Sixth. Name the previous five. This explains why many football players are in college today.
Yes.
Where they should not be.
And if it weren't for football, they wouldn't be playing football.
That is correct.
Hey, by the way, if you've got a hankering for a Car Talk puzzler, you can go to our website, cartalk.com, where you not only can get a puzzler, but a T-shirt, hat, sweatshirt, necktie, and all that. And every week, we'll be posting a different archival puzzler until we get back in full swing.
Yeah.
Which will be soon.
When? When is that?
Well, you know, it usually coincides with the end of the regular baseball season.
That's like November.
Which is
that's
what,
like November and December.
November 25th.
No.
Well, whatever.
Hey, if anybody out there
well,
has...
I'm going to tell you what the determinant is.
What?
Whether or not I have any puzzlers.
Yes, I know. You that's know. Why I'm going to say, if anyone out there has any puzzlers for my brother, please send them as fast as possible. Email would be best.
Yeah, but if necessary,
airlift.
C5As.
C5As, whatever it takes.
You never know. We're getting serious. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything, you know, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Charlie calling from Durango, Colorado.
Durango. Hi, Charlie.
Durango.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good pronunciation.
What does that mean, Durango?
You know what? I don't actually know
Charlie,
it.
Charlie, come on.
I know. I'm supposed to know all the trivia about the name.
How long have you lived in Durango?
I've been in Durango for 1 year right
now.
Oh, then you're excused.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you.
Anyway, Charlie, what's on your mind?
All right. Well, let's see. I have two vehicles, one domestic and one import,
yeah,
with two very different starter problems.
Yeah.
Okay, starting off.
Vehicle number one.
The domestic. Okay,
domestic.
We'll do that first.
Yeah.
It's a Chevy S10 Blazer.
Yeah.
And it's a 1986. Mm-hmm. And when I get in the car to start it, let's see, what would be the best description of the sound it makes? I think chunk when I go to start it. It, you know, power does go to it, and it goes chunk.
Just one time.
Just one time.
Boom.
And nothing happens.
All right.
Got it.
So,
okay.
In order to alleviate this problem, I took the terminals off the battery and scrubbed them with baking soda and water solution.
Very good. Very good.
Olive oil was good, too.
olive oil works good, too. And then I let it dry, and I hooked it back up. And it has been starting regularly. However, last night, it did do the same thing again. But then, after that loud noise, chunk, I started it again, and it started no problem. So what's going on?
Okay, well, we don't know. We're working on that. Yeah. Give us car number B.
All right.
I have some ideas, however. I always have ideas.
We don't want to give the same answer to both.
Since there are several possible answers here,
give us the foreign vehicle.
We'll mix and match.
All right. The foreign vehicle is a Mazda RX-7, 1982.
82.
And it's seen its fair share of the miles, believe me.
Yeah.
It's a very different problem because if I drive it around all day, come home, park it, the next morning, get in and try to start it, nothing happens.
Mm.
So I pop the hood and look under the hood and pull on the wire that goes back to the starter.
Yeah.
Get back in the car and it starts no problem, like there's nothing wrong.
Yeah. Good.
This happens all the time. So that's that problem.
Cool.
Help me out, guys.
Let's go to car B.
All right.
I mean, it seems pretty clear that it could easily be a bad connection at the starter, and by yanking on the cable, you are, at least for the momentarily, that is, improving the connection.
Yeah, and it could well be that the connection is really loose. I mean, that thing goes down to a big bolt, and it could be that bolt is loose, and by pulling on it, you're making a connection.
Oh, okay.
Could be. I mean, if you were interested, you could actually go ahead and take that wire off. There's a stud sticking out of the starter.
Right.
You could take the nut off, clean the lug with sandpaper.
Okay.
And put the nut back on.
And that'll
By the way, before you do this, make sure you remove the negative cable from the battery.
Remove the negative cable from the battery.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, there's going to be a lot of sparks flying down there, and you're not. And it's very, very dangerous.
Yeah, it might set your hair on fire. That's what happened to my brother.
People always say, is it very, very dangerous? How can it be dangerous if it's only 12 volts? And the answer is, it's very dangerous because the 12 volts will never hurt you, but you'll whack your head on the hood of the car.
So that's one possibility. If that doesn't fix it, then I wouldn't hesitate to recommend a new starter for that car.
Oh, boy.
Now, the Blazer.
Car one.
Car one.
That needs a starter. See, I wasn't going to give the same answer both times.
Well, unfortunately, I think so, too. But if you're lucky, the starter may be loose.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be good, but it isn't going to be
true. The starter completes its electrical circuit through its own housing.
Right.
Right.
The block of the engine to which it is attached is ground.
Ah.
So if the bolts holding it to the block are loose, you don't get a complete circuit.
Right.
But my brother's dreaming. I mean, it's not that.
Well, you should be so lucky, but it could be.
That's a case of you should be so lucky.
Okay. Yeah,
but you're going to need a starter for the S10.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so you may need two starters, Charlie.
Boy, this wouldn't be good.
Well, just buy one, and you could take it out and put it in the other vehicle when you want to drive the other car.
I wonder if that
I'm sure they're all interchangeable.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, I think you need a starter for the S10, and you've got a bad connection on the RX-7.
Crawl into the S10, and you'll see the starter.
Okay.
And if you can move it at all,
then
tighten up the bolts, and that's going to fix that one.
All right.
You know. Oh, you could also have a weak battery, you know. You need to test that. So I wouldn't go buying any starters until you have some tests done.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Charlie.
Good luck, Charlie. Yeah,
all right, thanks.
When you find out what Durango comes from or means, let us know.
Oh, I certainly will. Our next caller is going to know.
We should be able to figure it out.
No,
Durango.
You always get in trouble trying to figure out. This is another example of male answer syndrome. What makes you think you know the answer?
Well, because
Charlie lives there. He doesn't know the answer.
But we are Latin scholars.
But we're men.
And we're men. I mean, Durango must mean during.
During.
Enduring.
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 Yeah.
Even better.
Sounds like
Durango.
Yeah.
Durango.
No, I think it's a cattle rustler.
Doug thinks it means enema.
Good luck, Charlie.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye.
See you later.
Okay.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Cass from Griffin.
Cass?
Yeah, C-A-S-S.
Like Cass Elliott. Like Mama Cass Elliott?
Yes, and if you say that, then we know how old we are, don't we?
Griffin, Georgia.
Yeah, we're south of Atlanta, and I'm so excited to finally get you guys. I've had this problem for years, but now it's escalated into a marital dispute.
Okay.
And I just know y'all can straighten this out.
Oh, we don't like to get problems in the early stages because they're generally too easy at that point.
Yeah, that's right.
We like things to deteriorate to the point where...
where the in-laws are involved.
Walls are falling down around you.
Well, we haven't got them involved yet. But
well,
we
if the, the in-laws aren't involved, then...
call us back in a month. Or an hour. Yeah, give it to us, Cass.
Okay, well, I need to fill you in some background.
Sure.
For work reasons, my husband and I lived apart for 7 years.
Wow.
We just got back together in May of this year, and we have this problem. We now have four vehicles, and my husband says he doesn't want to have a fleet, you know, insurance reasons and maintenance and yada, yada, yada. And, of course, the car that needs to go is mine.
Of
and
course.
I just got it here.
Oh.
What is your car?
Okay, now I wanted to give you the list of them. I have an 87 Grand Am. It has 116,000 miles on it.
I would get rid of that one.
Okay, well, you haven't heard what the other ones are.
Doesn't make any
I don't
difference.
Care. I would get rid of that one anyway. Give us the remainder. What other cars?
The other one.
87 Grand Am.
Then we have a 91 Chevrolet Caprice Classic that has 68,000 miles on it.
I'd keep that.
It's a Nimitz. I can't drive it very well. It's so huge.
It's a what? A Nimitz?
Yeah, it's like an aircraft carrier.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge to me. I'm having a hard time with getting adapted. Then we have an 84 CJ7 Jeep. That's my husband's toy. He told me to tell y'all that it's a restored collector's item.
Yeah, and that can't go, even though it should. So we know that's untouchable.
Yeah, that's his baby.
Even though it's the worst piece of junk
ever made.
No.
Oh, he's got to hear this.
The only thing that's worse is the 83, the 82, the 81, the 87.
I have to pass this on to him. He's sitting here because we both agreed we would abide by your decision.
Okay, what's the last one?
Okay, the last but not least is a 93 Ford 150 pick-em-up truck. You got to have one of those in Georgia.
Now, how many do we have to get rid of? One?
Just one, and it has to be mine. I mean, that's what
which
he
one
said.
Was yours?
Mine is the 87 Grand Am.
Yeah, that's the one that's got to go.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely
really.
A no-brainer.
That's how my brother came to the conclusion so quickly.
He's gorgeous. He has new shoes, and she runs like a top.
We don't care.
Well, it has.
We are unencumbered by the thought process. We don't want to hear any facts. Of those four vehicles, there is no doubt in my mind that the Grand Am is the one that has to go.
Well, the larger consideration is the following.
Yes.
You have double GM representation here.
You certainly do.
Yes.
And that's no good.
If you dump that car, you'll have one GM car, one Chrysler car,
and
one
Ford. And that's only fair.
And that is fair. That's the American way.
That's right.
It's the American way.
Because it's America.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty clear you have to dump one of the GMs. And why would you dump the 91 Caprice?
Because it's so big, is her answer.
I'm having a real hard time getting used to it. I don't know where the right front end is. You know, it's somewhere on the road.
Wait a minute. Now, I think we may have jumped to a conclusion too fast here. And I think that we were not men, sensitive men. And I've just been shocked. What? I just had to give myself a little dope slap here. I realize we have here a pickup truck.
Oh, which is your husband's, too.
Which is a man's vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got two men's
We got a
vehicle.
Jeep, which is a man's vehicle.
Right.
We got a Caprice Classic, which is a moron's vehicle. And we got poor little Cass, who probably weighs 81 pounds.
Well, not really.
The Grand Am is the... All right, 181.
Yeah, now you're close.
But the Grand Am is the only vehicle of the four that is somewhat reasonably sized.
Yeah, well, at least I can tell where it is on the road.
I will have to agree with my brother here that because you
have been insensitive.
Because the Jeep is clearly the vehicle your husband drives.
Exactly.
And so is the pickup truck.
Oh, yeah, those are his.
Those are his. Why should he force you to drive the Caprice? You should drive whatever you want.
Thank you.
Okay. And if you sold the Caprice, then you could spend those thousands of dollars fixing up the Grand Am.
Or how about this?
Ooh.
How about this?
How about you sell about both this? Of them?
Sell them both.
Sell them both.
Sell them both and buy a nice Toyota Corolla.
we talked about that, and he said, well, we don't want a car payment, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Gee,
well,
wait a minute.
You won't have to.
Have any
if you
car
sold both
here.
Of these, you might be able to buy a couple-of-year-old Camry.
Okay, year-old Camry.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have a Camry, but the basic theory here is if you sell both of those, see, the 87 Grand Am, you may think it's running like a dream, but it's not. It's a dream, but it's sort of a nightmare dream. And if it is a dream, you're going to wake up from this dream like tomorrow morning.
The sweats, the screaming.
The sweats and the screaming.
Yeah, she's only left me a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, the Grand Am is not a great car. So I would say, I mean, it's the right size car for you.
Mm-hmm.
I say we dump the Caprice Classic. You'll get a lot of money for that, maybe $200-$300.
Oh, thank you.
And then sell the Grand Am and buy something else, whatever appeals to you, whatever you can afford. There are plenty of things around.
That sounds like the fair and equitable way to treat this.
I think so, too.
And because it had really gotten to be a sore point.
Yeah, I think the decision should be entirely yours.
I think so, too.
Thank you.
And let us know if anything bad comes of this. We'll help you find a new fella.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
All right.
Okay, thank you. We love you guys. We'll listen to you all the time.
See you.
Thanks
again.
For calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, it happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Eau Claire, Braised Hair, Poached Pear, Sole Meunier, Haricot Vert, Pomme de Terre, and Chocolate Eclair Food Fair, is John Bugsy Lawler. He's getting hotter every week. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. The head of our organ donation program is Olivia McCollin. Our layoff counselor is Harry Verderci. Our head diagnostician is Pat Ansa. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to, of course, our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the jubilant, high-fiving parents dropping off their freshmen in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And I've got a suggestion.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1536, download other insomnia-curing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week, how to skip the whole trade-in charade and donate your used car to benefit your public radio station instead. It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
But the haggling over the trade-in is my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Twice now you've gotten them up from 50 cents to a dollar.
check out the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. For more info, go to cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though shipwrecked sailors opt to wait for their rescue without a radio when they hear us say it, this is NPR.